Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you, follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on the Hill Radio Show. Thank you for tuning in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come and learn with us. There are so many things happening in this nation, and unfortunately, a lot of people are asleep that could help on this issue. But before we start off, Ms. Barbara, you know, we'd like to start off with a prayer. If you don't mind, Ms. Barbara, I'll start off with a prayer today. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you that you are God. Thank you that nothing is hard for you. And Lord, there are so many things going on in our lives and that keeps us so busy, Lord, that it's hard for a lot of people to get involved. And Lord, Heavenly Father, in everything that we do, you said for us to acknowledge you in all our ways. So Lord, right now I pray, Lord, that there will be listeners and more listeners, Lord, that would take time, Lord, to listen to you, Lord. We pray that you would give us the words to say on this radio show, Lord, and our guests and future, Lord, Heavenly Father, so that we would share the truth that you want people to hear. A lot of things are not getting out there, Lord, information that will help families, Lord, their children. And, Lord, we all love our children, our grandchildren, nieces and nephew. And, Lord, if we knew what was wrong, we would stop them. But, unfortunately, many of us are asleep. We don't even know what's going on. Many choose to be asleep, and many choose not to but are so busy, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that there would be a great awakening, Lord, that people will take time, Lord, Heavenly Father, to find out what's going on because you have blessed us in this nation, Lord, with the ability to choose godly leaders, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that we would be mindful of that privilege so that it may go well with us and our children. We thank you, Lord, and we pray that you would give us the right things to share today in this show, Lord, Heavenly Father. Be with us, Lord, and may the listeners hear it, and may the listeners bear fruit with it, Lord. May they share it with their friends and family. We thank you, Lord, and we ask these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Diana. And you know, when you prayed for a great awakening, and we are praying for a great awakening in this land and throughout the world, because that's what it's going to take, a turning back to God. And I was thinking when you were praying that for a great awakening, that that's what it took within me, a great awakening to the reality and truth and life of God. And it was after that great awakening occurred in me that I was born of the Spirit, born from above, born again by the Spirit of God. Then I began to hunger and thirst for righteousness. I began to hunger and thirst to know God more and more, and as he revealed himself to me in his word, then that I just got a greater and greater appetite for him. And that's where it all began with me, as I was awakened internally and began to learn of the Lord and his ways from his word and by his Spirit. Then, and only then, could I apply his word to all of life. Only after an inward change had occurred within me was I even not only able to apply God's truths to all of life, including education, government, economics, all of it, all of life, and began to see things the way God sees them, and Jesus Christ is Lord over all, not just some or not just part. But then I was interested in, after that inward change had occurred, then I was consumed, really, with interest to apply God's word to all of life. And then I became active. I became proactive. I took action as God would have me to do, to apply his word rightly, just as our founding fathers took action to apply God's word, just as the Puritans, going back to that city on a hill, that vision to apply God's word to all of life, going back to the Pilgrims, and that, you know, that they applied God's word to all of life, and so forth. So it's inward and then outward. It can't go the other way. It really can't, or it won't be right. So we pray for a great awakening. We pray that we will be great soul winners, that we will win many to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will be translated from the kingdom of God to from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light to the kingdom of God, and because that's how it's going to, that's how it has to happen.
Oh, you're right, Miss Barbara. And two, it's a daily walk, as you have found that out for yourself too, Miss Barbara. It's like,
that's right,
you know, once we're saved, we just don't sit back and relax and enjoy the fruits. I think for you to keep enjoying the fruits, you really have to draw close to God, because life is full of surprises, some of them not so good, some of them very good. But at all times, I think if you are not getting the Word of God, you may forget, you know, that first love, and you will take your eyes off of him. And I think on the calling on your life from him, which is really to give him glory in everything you do. And I just noticed that with people that I've been around with, you know, very dear Christians. But unfortunately, sometimes the toil of life, just the everyday busyness, you know, makes them forget about the other side of God that they, for some reason, have missed out on. And sometimes I think it's about the blessings, too, because I look about, you know, you and me are here trying to do what little bit we can to alert people about the blessings of God through our government. But we know that we have come to this state of affairs in our country because, unfortunately, a lot of people just sat back and relaxed and forgot that they really have to stand in the gap, don't they, and make sure that things go God's way, not man's way.
Well, you know, John Adams said our Constitution was made only for a moral and virtuous people, and that morality and that virtue is based upon biblical Christianity. It's based on biblical, walking out those biblical truths and living it, living the life of God here on this earth. So, you know, without that, our nation is going to crumble. If we're not governing ourselves according to the commandments of God, as James Madison said, you know, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. So that is just basic. Now, unfortunately, we have allowed even those that are walking with the Lord and have for many, many years, we have allowed so much to be taken away, so much of our foundation to be attacked, and it's crumbling, and we've not done a good job of guarding that those wonderful gifts that God has given us. We haven't done a good job of maintaining. We haven't done a good job of passing on to generation after generation those truths that make freedom possible and make all of these good things that God has given us in this country that made us so different. But we haven't done a good job of passing those principles on to generation after generation. And so we're at this place now where there's just this vast ignorance, a lack of knowledge about these very important foundational truths that are necessary for our country to go on prospering in freedom and opportunity and justice. And, you know, we've allowed the corruption of our culture. We've allowed our country to descend into the sewer in so many, many ways. And now we're, as you said, we're trying to do our little part to shake people up and rouse them and awaken them and see that we still can because God is alive. We still can because God is the God of all hope. We can still hope and we can still work, and we have the promise of 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. We have been the prodigal son, the prodigal nation. We have taken all the beauty and the gift of freedom and opportunity and prosperity and all of that. We've taken it and we've used it for our own pleasure, not realizing the responsibility of that to preserve it for others to come and to maintain it and so forth. But we've just used it up on ourselves and in the pursuit of pleasure, really. And we thought that was our right, to pursue pleasure with the freedom God has given. And so we've just squandered it like the prodigal son. We've squandered it. And now we're awakening in the pig pen. And we look around.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah, yeah. In the pig pen. Isn't that what we're seeing on our
We're living, it seems like, you know, Ms. Barbara, it's so sad because, you know, people are scared to even walk out of their homes at night in their own neighborhood. And this is where we have come to. And I just think of, you know, in the successful industrialized countries like ours, you know, material things have really hid the beauty from God that is free and available. And I just think for myself, I remember going to the beaches around Panama City Beach, Florida, most beautiful beaches. And now there is so much of those high-rise condominiums that you used to could go down there when you drove up, you could see the beach. I mean, it's just so beautiful. You can't do that anymore. You know, you cannot do it anymore from the road. It's hidden but all these beautiful condos. And I think that's a little bit of like what we have done. We are not able to see God's the goodness of God because we're so taken up with working harder, building better houses, better having better this, having better that. But yet when, you know, when end of life is gone, you hear people, they don't ask about, you know, is my money going with, you know, going with me to heaven, or, you know, they don't ask about their money. They don't. They ask about their children.
Yeah.
They ask about their grandchildren. You know, that are the, those are the things that matters at the end of life, are our families. And we've come to the point where the enemy is now after our children. They've just about gotten our families, because I heard the divorce rate was over 50%. But now they're after our children. And I had titled today's show, really, a look at education with a top analyst. And one of those top analysts is Ms. Peyton Wolcott that we love so much. But
yeah.
Peyton is busy doing her thing. And really, she's going to be on later on this month. But we're going to look at some of the things that, unfortunately, we have allowed to happen to our children because we have been busy. And busy with material things, busy with life. And like I said, I know a lot of good Christians that if they just knew, I think, would stop and do something about it. But unfortunately, they're so busy. A lot of them probably don't even watch news, Ms. Barbara. They're just so busy with their own lives. But unfortunately, it's to the point where we're all going to have to take a part in the fight for our children because the problems are so huge. And one of them that you were talking about the other day, if you don't mind, we can go into, it's about the health care issue, Ms. Barbara, if you don't mind, because you understand that very well.
Well, that would be great to discuss that. I do want to mention before we go there that when you're talking about you're talking about the high divorce rate and the breakup of families, and at the end of the day, at the end of life, the material things are immaterial. The material things no longer matter, and all we're concerned about our relationship with God, where we're going to spend eternity, and our relationship with our children, what we have left to our children, that's going to affect their eternity. And it's all about relationship. God is a relational God. He is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. And that's about relationship. And so when we are born of His Spirit, then we become all about relationship, our relationship with God through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then our relationship, you know, that's the that's the vertical relationship. And then the cross, the horizontal relationship, our relationship with one another. And that's what's important. So, you know, all through Scripture, God tells us as parents to train up our children, to be in relationship with them. He says to teach them when we're walking. That means we're to be walking with our children. When we're sitting together, we're to be teaching them. That it's relational. It's about relationship. When at all times, he goes on very specifically, you know, teach them here, teach them there, teach them, you know, we're to be all about being in relationship with them and teaching them and training them for all eternity, because time on this earth is very short. But eternity is forever and forever and ever. And so we should be laying up our treasures in heaven as God commands us to, rather than laying up our treasures on earth. And the Lord gave the example of the man who built the barn to store all his goods in, and he had more goods than could be stored. So he built another barn and another, and his whole life was spent building barns and filling them, and then suddenly his life was required of him. What did all of that profit him? Nothing, because it had nothing to do with eternity. And So, you know, if we can do anything to encourage people to put their thoughts on those things above and not beneath, that's where we've got to focus, whether we're a new Christian or whether we've walked with the Lord for many years. We've got to have that daily bread. We've got to be fed daily. We've got to maintain that close, intimate, personal relationship with God daily. And if we do, then we will keep our focus on eternity, both heaven and hell, desiring that everyone we know, everyone we come in contact with, will be spending eternity in heaven and avoiding the pains and torments of hell throughout all eternity. So I just think it's so important that we remind everyone about the relationship. It's all about relationships, and we don't want to wait till we get to the end of our lives to discover that. Let's learn that lesson now and enjoy godly relationships and enjoy doing what God wants us to do and enjoying what God wants us to enjoy. You know, you mentioned the beach and the beauty of the beach, and we think about all of nature that, you know, it's all for us that He gave. This creation, this beauty of nature, it's all about mankind. It's for no other reason. He created it all for us. In fact, the entire universe. And He did it perfectly. And so He wants us to enjoy what He has given. And we can, if we're in right relationship with Him and receive the gifts and the beauty of creation as from His hand, and praise Him for it and be grateful to Him for it. So that's the bottom line, and that's the beginning, and that's the end.
Oh, yes, Miss Barbara, and that's what counts. And in the meantime, while we're here on Earth, a lot of things are going on that really, you know, that scripture comes to mind, train up, you know, we pray for us to be able to train our children in the training and admonition of the Lord, but so many parents don't even know what that is. They don't know about that scripture, and they don't even really acknowledge God's ways. And if God is not the Lord of us training our children, then who is? And we see it. We see it because of all the onslaught upon our children's minds, and not just their minds, their bodies, their health. It's really an attack. And, Barbara, I know that's one of the reasons that you do what you do. You know, it's because of the children. We have such a love for the children. And, you know, they can't vote. They really don't have a voice in Congress. So we're going to have to do our part, and it's going to take really just about every parent. And I think if you love a child, you need to listen to what we're saying, because unfortunately the enemy is counting that you won't. The enemy likes it when the news doesn't talk about these issues. I mean, that's just, you know, that's just exactly the way he likes it, isn't it, Ms. Barbara?
Well, it is. And, you know, Diana, I can relate to what you're saying, because I remember all too well before Christ and after Christ in my own life, and until I was born of God's Spirit. And that occurred in me when I was 33 years old. So I was married. I had all four children. And so I remember, you know, how I thought before. And I was, according to the standards of the world, I was a good parent. You know, my children were clean and neat and well cared for, and they were getting an education. And those things that the world judges as right. We spent time, we did family vacations, we went to church together, we, you know, all these things. And yet I never once thought about their eternity, even though, you know, we went to church, but I was not awakened, Diana. I was not awakened to the kingdom of God. And so it was all on the surface. And how very different, I think, these days and from the time that I was born of God's Spirit and began to study His Word, how very differently I look at the world and those things that I see as important, you know, now. It's very different. So, you know, again, I think that the more soul winning that we can do, where many parents will be awakened spiritually and begin to hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will hunger and thirst for righteousness for their children as well, and for all children as well, because that's what will be the overriding desire of their hearts. And a lot of these, a lot of this busyness, a lot of these activities, a lot of this work, 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 play, 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 work, play, work, play, work, play. A lot of this will be pushed aside as they spend quality time with their children in teaching them eternal truths and seeing them awaken to God's beauty and His reality.
I agree, Miss Barbara. I think you have such a concern then to see them in the afterlife, you know, for eternity, because we realize, you know, we're not promised tomorrow. Now that we're awakened, we really know that there is a heaven and there's a hell. For those of us that have read God's Word, we know very well.
That's right.
The promises of God are true, and His Word is true, and everything in the Bible is something that, you know, I think somebody like Pat Robertson says, if Jesus said it, you can bank on it. But a lot
That's
of people
right.
don't know what Jesus said, and Jesus did say to look at the armies surrounding Jerusalem, and that's why we're working more fervently than ever, is because we don't know what day, what hour, but we do know that there are, unfortunately, those signs are coming, because we're hearing that already. They're making plans to do just that. But in the meanwhile, we have to occupy until He comes, is what I remember
right.
out of the Bible, and that means we need to do what we're doing right now, which is sharing God's truth. And Ms. Barbara, I'm going to go ahead, and I think the three things I wanted us to cover a little bit, which, you know, we have guests, thank God, that are experts that have really researched a lot of these issues. They're coming on board, and tomorrow is going to be a very great day. We've got Eloise Zena with American Federation of Republican Women. I'm sorry, Alabama Federation of Republican Women. She's the president of AFRW. She's coming on with us, tell us what's going on in the state legislature. And also Mr. Lou Campanosi, who is with the Campaign for Common Sense. Both individuals very caring about where their state is headed. And really the stories they're going to share with us is probably duplicated in most states. Just about every state's having to deal
yeah.
with the same problem. The federal government's been really busy in our lives. But one of the things I want us to cover today is the medical part, where it's now really going to be very, it's going to be under the radar for most people, but it's going to infringe on the rights of the parents eventually. And if you don't mind, Ms. Barbara, explain to us your perspective on what is going on with Obamacare. And really, unfortunately, what's even going on here in our state of Alabama?
Well, one of the things that everyone needs to know is that Obamacare mandates cutting out $10 billion of Medicare for senior citizens over 10 years. It's Obamacare that's doing the cutting of Medicare. It is not Paul Ryan's plan, the Republican plan. That plan does not alter care for senior citizens that have Medicare at all. In fact, anyone who's 55 and older, their Medicare will not be affected one bit. It will not increase in price. It will not be cut in value. It will not be rationed under the Paul Ryan Republican plan. But under Obamacare, the plan calls for $10 billion to be cut from Medicare over the next 10 years, and that affects every senior citizen. There's a lot of, just frankly, a lot of lying going on in Congress by the Democrats who want this Obamacare, who passed it, and so they're saying things that are not true. And so that's something that's very important to remember. Another thing is the issue of Medicaid. Now, Medicaid has increased, the cost of Medicaid has increased dramatically, just unbelievably, the cost to every state in the union. And one of the reasons that Medicaid costs have dramatically increased, skyrocketed, is the fact that the education system is mandating mental health screening for basically all children in public education. Now, the way it reads is something to the effect of identifying at-risk children. Now, the problem with that is the definition of at-risk is so broad that it includes virtually every child. Is a child 2 pounds overweight? Well, he's at risk, according to their definition of at risk, and needs a mental health screening, which, of course, they bill the government for with Medicaid. And so, you know, and on and on and on and on. And so you're talking about mental health screening from pretty much birth, because in the public school system, the ages have been the ages of children attending school have gone down to age one at this point. So, you know, there are public school classes for virtually all ages. And so the mental health screening would include all ages as well. So it's a racket. It is in my opinion, it's criminal what they're doing to our children with this system of mental health screening and treatment and all this stuff in the public schools, and charging us for it. It's taxpayer money that's going to fund Medicaid, and so this is a real serious problem. Now, as for health care itself, you know, we think about how we are fearfully and wonderfully made in God's image and likeness, and God created our bodies wonderfully to work well, and to even, fight diseases and all the mechanisms that he has placed within us to maintain our health and so forth. And we have a right to determine for ourselves, you know, our care, what doctors we use, you know, it's part of who we are, and as human beings, the dignity and responsibility that we have. And so, you know, we need to get government out of the healthcare business.
Well, Miss Barbara, when you say that the ages of children have gone down to one, you're talking about Head Start, right? Head Start.
Pre-K, yeah. I suppose it is under the Head Start umbrella, but I just remember about 6 months ago seeing an advertisement in the classified section of the paper advertising for a teacher in this area for one-year-olds. For one-year-olds, and
I'm
it was
guessing that is Head Start. Yeah. Wow. I just they want their hands on. And I remember, you know, James Dobson.
But they want our children.
Saying, yeah, James Dobson. I remember him saying, you know, the longer you can keep them out, because everybody's anxious to do pre-K and all that, you know. Which he says, you know, the longer you can keep them at home with a mother. You know, never mind the pre-K and all that. He says, you know, really, it's better for the child.
And the studies, all the credible studies show that. And all the credible studies show that pre-kindergarten teaching, there are no long-term gains from it at all. In fact, it's just the opposite. So the Head Start concept, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten even, you know, it's not about improving education. It does not improve education. All the credible studies show that it does not, that pre-K does not improve education. But what it does is it allows government to have control over the children at younger and younger ages and determine the value system for those children. The more children are away from their parents, the less strong the relationship and the less influence that parents will have on children, and the more influence the school system will have on children.
And see, Ms. Barbara, you just pointed out some studies, and you think, you know, what are they thinking of when there's already facts to support that, you know, that is the wrong way to go. So you really wonder at the agenda of those making these rules. If you want a better nation, better children, you're certainly heading the wrong way.
And they know that.
The listeners need to be questioning what is indeed going on. And I can see where Paul Ryan, yeah, when he talked about, you know, his plan, indeed, there are ways to save, because that right there is major. Medicaid is one of the really, I think Medicaid probably is worse than Medicare, because Medicaid has no end. It will just suck what we have out dry. I mean, whatever we let it feed on, it will take in. There's nothing really building it up, you know. But now we have given the government really new ways of even making that system take more money. And all for an agenda is what it sounds like, Ms. Barbara. And that is very scary indeed, especially when you think about mental health screenings, because more and more children are already on, you know, Ritalin and things like that. There's all sorts of screenings already going on. And I even remember, we have our friend Don Wildman, California, and I remember getting an email. It might not have been from Don, but it was something to the fact that that is something that they are wanting to enlarge in the state of California's ability to, you know, do screenings. And that was about a year ago, I think, that I remember seeing that. In California, it's so bad, I think I even remember reading that if a child has any tendency towards homosexuality, that they can go in and see a counselor and get counseling, and their parents doesn't have to know about it.
Right.
You know, and that's what we're seeing more, too. I've even heard of, you know, if they're pregnant. You know, that's one of the things that is very scary when you think that they can go for counseling and you as a parent not even know about it.
And yet, to get a child's ears pierced, they have to have parental consent, and they can have an abortion without that in some states still. You know, it's just, It's just a mess is what it is. And we have allowed education to become beyond the control of parents, and that's where the problem is. You know, the more local that you can keep education, where parents are in charge of it and parents have the say-so as to the content of what's being taught and what their children are allowed to do, as long as that is in place, you know, it's a lot safer. But when that goes and the control goes to the federal government, which it has with the Department of Education since Jimmy Carter, and the funding from the federal government, making the states and local governments dependent upon it, so that they have to, in order to get the money that they think they have, then they have to jump through the hoops that they're told to jump through by the federal government, by the Department of Education, and so forth, complying with all the regulations, including all this pre-K stuff. You know, the Alabama Constitution says that the state is responsible, the state of Alabama is responsible for the teaching of children ages 7 and 7 through 18. 7 through 18 or 7 through 17. I believe it's 18. So that's what our taxpayer funding should go for. And as you well know, 80% of all state monies goes for education. So we should have plenty of money for education, but that's what our tax dollars should go for. And instead though, it's going to provide funding for kindergarten and pre-kindergarten and all these babies for babies. And all these programs that they have now for these little children, babies even.
That really should be at home with their mother. And
yeah.
And Ms. Barbara, another thing too, when we're talking about the government, and we talk a lot about it, and we're going to talk about it tomorrow, I'm sure Ms. Eloise and Zena and Lou Campo-Minosa will talk about the Common Core standards. And we'll have some more guests throughout. You know, that's a topic that not enough, really every parent should know. It's like knowing about where you take the children to school. You really need to know what's in the school. And unfortunately, the enemy has found a way to really take our children away from us mentally, you know, with what you're saying, Ms. Barbara. You know, it's just that mental health screening, you know, that as they're trying to get a hold of the child's mind as young as possible. And one of the ways that means that they're going to do that, unfortunately, is something that sounds so good. Let's have national standards. You know, don't we want the same standards for the people in California to be taught to the students in Alabama? Well, unfortunately, in a perfect world, maybe that could happen, but it's an imperfect world with imperfect people, unfortunately, and we have people with agendas. But beyond that, one of the most telling things that ought to worry people in this time of economic downturn, we should be asking ourselves, why is the federal government going to make us spend millions, really billions of dollars when it's all over with, to programs that's not been tested?
The question too needs to be, whose children are they anyway? Do the children belong to the federal government? Which, in case if they do, then the federal government's right in having this national curriculum, these national standards. If the children belong to the federal government, then yes, they should be imposing their standards and their requirements across the board, and it should be one size fits all across this nation, all 50 states, if the children belong to the federal government. If they are human resources for the state, for the government, not the states individually, but for the government. If they are worker bees, if they are the masses and worker bees for the government, if they belong to the government, yes, yes, they should impose national curriculum, national standards, everything be cookie cutter across the board, everybody be alike, everybody wear the same clothing, everybody eat the same foods. They can dictate exactly what they want their little worker bees to be like. However, if the child has been given by God to the parents to raise and teach and train up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, it's a very different answer.
You're right, Miss Barbara. And that should be the most important aspect that people are considering on this, why we should even agree to a common core state standards. Most parents don't know it. Their state has probably, if you're listening, your state's probably already signed on to it. But that is the most important point that Ms. Barbara's saying, because really, common core state standards, there will be no parental local state control over what and how students are taught. And there's other reasons that we should not want this, but that is the most important reason of all. But some of the other reasons, and Ms. Barbara, there's a new website that I was told of, and it's Truth in American Education. You have to put your www. In there, and it's truthinamericaneducation.org. Took a while for me to get into it, but it is great information. And one of the things I wanted to mention, because this right here, for anybody that's conscious about the downturn in the economy, and that's a rally cry for a lot of people these days, is, the economy. Well, this just gives you an idea of what we're getting into as far as the cost. It says right here, California's Standardized Testing and Reporting Program, which began in 1998, tests students in grades 2 to 11 in English, math, social studies, science, and history. Estimates suggest that it would cost California taxpayers $1.6 billion to replace existing state standards with the Common Core state standards. $1.6 billion. Florida, the Florida Comprehensive Assessment Test measures student achievements in grades 3 to 11 in reading, math, and science. Since 1996, Florida has spent more than $404 million to develop and maintain the system. Taxpayer investment in existing high-quality assessment has been substantial, and overhauling the system for improving national assessments, which Florida has agreed to adopt, could produce significant new implementation costs. So that's above the $404 that they have already, used up for a system. And Texas, now they are one of the ones that has stood against the national standards. The Lone Star State estimates that adoption of new standards and tests would cost taxpayers upward of $3 billion. Adopting national standards and tests would also require the purchase of new textbooks, assessments, and professional development tools, costing Texas taxpayers an estimated $3 billion on top of the billions of dollars Texas has already invested in developing their strong standards. So Governor Rick Perry says no. Virginia, the Virginia Board of Education unanimously rejected the adoption of the Common Core State Standards and Tests. One of the board's chief arguments against adopting the national standards was fiscal, with members noting that Virginia's investment in the standards of learning since 1995 exceeds the $250 million that Virginia potentially could have received by abandoning their standards of learning and competing in phase two of Race to the Top. Indeed, since 1996, Virginia taxpayers have paid more than $379 million to develop and implement their state's standards of learning. The cost for developing the SOLs include expenditures for the initial development and subsequent revisions. But, they have, they are one of those that have stood up and said no. And there's another one on this cost page. It's breaking down for Washington State, and it's a really good breakdown. So I invite the people to look into it, but they've got estimated costs for the implementation of this Common Core State Standards. They've got it per fiscal year, Ms. Barbara. They've got it broken down 2010 to 11, $2,500,000, and it's $3,400,000 the next year, up to 2014 through 15 fiscal year, it was $3,800,000. Now, these are costs per year, so that in 5 years they would have spent $17 million. And then, guess what? I mean, I just don't see where people like us are going to get the money.
Somebody's going to be making a lot of money, and that's what it's all about. It's not about improving education for the children. It's about somebody taking advantage and pulling the wool over everyone's eyes and making bukus of money. It's all about making money. It's all about getting control over our children, you know, completely. And that's what it's all about. We have to ask ourselves, you know, with all the experiments that have been made on our children in public school over the past, say, 30, 40 years, let's just say 30 years, all the time they have come up with new experiments. It's like they're treating our children as rats in a laboratory. And they tried the open classrooms where there were no walls. They said they had a theory about, I don't know how they justified it, but this crazy idea that the more confusion and the more noise and the more chaos in a child's life, the better they would learn. Well, you know, common sense and everything in life points the other direction, that we need quiet, we need order, we need structure, we need to focus when we're learning, and so forth. But never mind the facts, never mind the right way, and that, you know, there's education is not rocket science, you know.
Thank you for pointing that out.
Really very simple. You learn to read, and then you read to learn, and you need that basic reading in all subjects, including math and so forth. So, but our education system has declined with every experiment that the educational gurus have come up with, and by the way, made money on, all of them, because every new experiment calls for new training of teachers and personnel. It calls for all the new experiments call for new machinery, new technological supplies, new, and then people have to be trained in those new ways. So we're talking big bucks, and somebodies are making lots and lots and lots of money with all these experiments on our children. And that's what it's all about.
On our website, you know, we had a blog. Is it Lou Gerstner's, or is it Obama's, or is it Bill Gates' standards? And it really, unfortunately, points to Bill Gates. I mean, that's really where this started, and I hope people would read that. I'll try to post it back up because, I mean, there's links for you to just kind of follow the history of this thing, and it's not very good. It is like you say. And, two, you know, you've told me this too, Ms. Barbara. You know, homeschooled children are the ones that really the colleges are trying to recruit to attend their college and, you know, boost probably their GPAs and everything, you know, standards. And those are the children who really is their parents that have invested into them. So we're going the wrong way. The more you have parents included in the process, the better the child will do. And we have come away from that. It's now they're trying to go through national testing through a computer where you're doing it online, and parents are not even going to see those tests. And more, that's what we're hearing, is parents are no longer being allowed to be in the picture. It's less and less of them allowed in the picture of training these children. And, you know, national standards leads to a national curriculum. And it's like somebody pointed, will we always be 100% happy with the political ideas of the person living in the White House? And I dare say today, a lot of people are not happy with what's coming out of the White House.
Well, that's the other part of it, the control. The Obama education is about forming these children into the image of Barack Obama and his czars, his communist, radical homosexual czars, and having control of the children to form them with his values and their values. And that's very much a part of getting control of the children and their education. Years and years ago, Diana, and I've been looking at this for many, many years, but years ago we were we read and were told that these educators that designed these experiments for the public school children, they consider children coming into the schools mentally ill because they are patriotic and they have the values of their parents. They come in with preconditioned values of their parents. So they are considered mentally ill, and their values have to be changed to conform to the values of those in the places of power and authority, the homosexuals and the radical the radicals, environmentalists, communists, the socialists, all of that, the one world government people, you know, to get rid of patriotism and sovereignty of the United States and so forth. That, all of that together, that's their value system that they are imposing, and the sooner they get the children, the more they can impose their values and take and strip the children of their parents' values. Now, what I see, and I want to say this because I do see a lot of parents doing the very best that they can for their children. I see them involved in their schools. I see them involved in their child's classroom, in their child's activities. When there's a field day, the parents are there helping. When it's a bake sale, the parents are involved. I see a lot of involvement of young parents with young children, and athletic activities and so forth, and they're doing their very best to be good parents and to be involved. And Diana, they have never, ever heard of Common Core Standard or what's going on at the national level, the takeover, the Obama takeover of education with the race to the top and the Common Core Standards. They are busy being involved with their kids at a local level.
Mm. And that's the way the
and
enemy
if
likes
to stay
it
at a local level. It would be really
the way the enemy.
They could.
Well, the enemy likes it that way, that they, you know, they not know what's going on. And we're so thankful for these guests that have come on. And that's why we say, please share this with your friends and family, not just in your state, but in other states, because I'm seeing in blogs now, Miss Barbara, everybody's kind of panicking. They're starting to get wind of it, and they're panicking. You know, they're saying, well, my life's work has been to try to do things for my children. So can you imagine how I feel? And,
yeah.
and that is happening more and more. So we want to share this with you. We want to arm you. We can still change things. And that's why it's very important to get informed on the details. And we're just talking about a little part of it. But there's a lot more details to talk about. But I know we're going to go over, Ms. Barbara, but I'll try to cut it short. But I wanted to also talk about the fact that, you know, for teachers that are listening. But first of all, I want to agree on a point that you said about, you know, changing the mindset. You know, more and more we're hearing the government say, well, you cannot honor a veteran. You know, we've heard that you can't even – why do we even have to fight for a chaplain or to pray in Jesus' name why do we even have to fight for their right to play the bugle? You know, things like that, that honor and respect our military. There's so many fights, and it's emanating from all these governmental agencies. You cannot do this and that. But anyway, I wanted to point, Miss Barbara, about teachers that are upset about what's going on with teacher salaries are going to be cut down. And really, this movement here, Common Core Standards, the teacher salaries will be tied to the test scores. So really, teachers need to start waking up about this issue, because it is going to affect whether or not they can keep their job. I can see the computer replacing more and more of them, Ms. Barbara.
Oh, yeah, very definitely, very definitely. Teachers need to be aware and share this broadcast with everyone they can, and become informed and active, absolutely, because they will be affected, for
well,
sure.
Well, and right now, I know there's a shortage in the money in each local government, and guess who's going to be hurt right now? I'm hearing talk about, oh, they're going to cut teacher salaries 15%. Well, can you imagine what will happen when they start scrambling for the money to fund this Common Core State Standards? I think teachers need to find out for their own livelihood
what this program means,
not just for the livelihood, but for their own children. But, Ms. Barbara, we're going to close, and we want to invite the listeners to come on again tomorrow, because we're going to discuss this some more with Eloisina and Lou Campo-Minosi. And also, Don Wildland will be on this Friday with Grace Marie Turner about health care issues. So you need to tune in every day. But, Ms. Barbara, would you mind closing us in prayer?
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you. Father, we just thank you that you have chosen this time, Father, for us to be alive on this earth. And, Father, that we do have that opportunity to be involved, and we can do something, that each one of us can do something. And I pray, Father, that we would do that, and, Father, take an active role, Father, and become informed and become active, that we change things. We thank you, Father, for that opportunity. We thank you, Father, for the many that you are raising up to speak out and speak truth and to give us the information that we need. We ask your blessing upon them, Father. We ask your blessing, Lord, upon all those that hear this broadcast. And we just declare, oh God, that we are yours, and we are dependent upon you, and we love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, listeners. One last thought. I'm looking at Washington estimate. Total five-year estimated district level cost is $165 million. Total five-year estimated state level and district level cost, $182 million. So we're not talking about small change. So let's be in prayer and get informed. Please go to our website, www.cityonahill.tv. We will post a link to this website so that you can find out with your very own eyes the truth. It speaks for itself. Thank you, and may God bless you and shine his face upon you. Thank you for listening to City on a Hill Radio Show. Goodbye.